at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying a message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Wow. Thanks. I'm an act. My name is Joey.
Hey, Joey.
You know, let me do something real quick. You know, the real deal is, when I got here, I was Joey. But now that I'm here, I'm just an addict, just like everybody else. And to remove my personality and put the principle before the personality, I got to do some stuff. And one of the things is to get in touch with myself is I got to remember where I came from, you know. I came here, I didn't know anything about the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I came here to stop smoking crack. You know, I'm looking around these rooms and I can see some of the predecessors here. And it is truly an honor to be here and to be asked to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous, you know? So it is truly a blessing. You know, I got my visuals here, and just to let you know, I suffer from an obsessive and compulsive disorder, you know? So when I was asked to do this meeting 3 months ago, you know, what I did is I went ahead and started obsessing immediately, you know? I'll tell you what, if anybody's worked any steps out of this step working guide, then you know it is a very thorough process. You know, I'm not bragging, but I am proud to say that I've answered every question out of this book. That gives me the experience to get up here in front of you. You know what, when I checked in at that table downstairs, they gave me this little sheet, you know, and it says 1,751 days. You know what? That really doesn't mean anything because that's yesterday. What keeps me clean is what I do today. Yesterday's recovery doesn't keep me clean today. And what's keeping me clean today is doing this. This is service, man. When I got here, you know, I came here because I wanted to stop smoking crack in 1994. I got clean for like 6 months. I don't know how, just by holding on. I didn't do any work. Didn't work any steps, didn't get a sponsor, didn't get a home group. So the inevitable happened. I got high, you know. And then for the next 4 years, the pain and suffering that I felt, you know, was enough for me to come back in 1998 and go ahead and get a little more serious with this. And when I came back in 1998, you know, it's like my pain drove my willingness to a greater level. You know, and when I came back in 1998, once again, I didn't come right back in and start collecting them key tags. I had to collect the same one over and over again, if you know what I mean. But the thing about it was, is the second time, I wasn't making the same mistakes. You know, I was making different mistakes. And then I can honestly say that January 17th of 1999, you know, was the day that I started working some steps, you know, and my first clean date was 12/14/99. My sponsor said that I had to have 30 days before I started working the steps, and you know how we are. Instant gratification became my way of life. You know, I was so used to getting what I wanted immediately for someone to tell me I had to wait for something I didn't like it. You know, so I waited, and once I started working the steps, you know, that was in January 17th, 1999. You know, I didn't stay clean the whole time, You know, I did have one little relapse in there in 30 days. I don't want to minimize it in that short period of time. May of 01, after 2.5 years clean, collected the whole set of key tags. I developed amnesia. I forgot what it was like. And I went back out there for some more pain. And like I said, I don't want to minimize it, because in that short period of time, I became homeless. You know, I ran through my bank account, and the pain that I felt was even greater then. You know, I'll go a little further into my relapse a little bit. But then after the relapse, I came back with a renewed willingness, man, and then I started to do some work. And what I just explained to you is my little journey. This is my journey through Narcotics Anonymous as put together in key tags. You know, there was this guy that, you know, I got clean in Baltimore, and there was this guy who did this. And matter of fact, everything I've ever learned about being clean or anything you hear come out of my mouth is really not my words, man. This program of Narcotics Anonymous has taught me how to stay clean and stay clean and be serene. So, man, there's nothing original about me, you know, except my story. You know, so when I talk about things or I do things, it's because this is what I've learned here in Narcotics Anonymous. So I'll respect anonymity. I won't tell you the person's name, but they had this key tag, you know, and then I thought that was real helpful, because it reminds me where I came from, you know. The other visuals I got is the message is our literature. You know, I'm not the message. I'm nobody trying to tell somebody about a program who can help anybody. The message is the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. The daily meditation book, just for today. It Works, How and Why, as well as the basic text. One piece of literature I don't have, and that's the sponsorship booklet. I don't have that with me, but I do own one. And then also what I brought my work, you know, because my experience is my step work. And I don't recall anybody ever doing this, but I think it's important to say that there's one promise, it's freedom from active addiction. But you know what? Nothing in my life that I've ever had that was worth having, I didn't have to work hard for. You know, I think Janis Joplin said, freedom means nothing left to lose, you know? And that's how I felt when I got here. I had nothing left to lose. So when I came here and someone told me I had to do some work, I was more than willing to do some work, you know? And there's my step stuff. I've worked all 12 steps through the step working guide. I even went and did some work on the traditions. My sponsor made a suggestion that I start a journal. He wanted me to do it for 30 days. I did it for an entire year. And, you know, and that's my work, man. And, you know, man, I had to get in touch with my greatest fear, because this is my first time doing this. If anybody did the quick calculation, 1751 doesn't equal 5 years, and there's a 5-year minimum requirement for leading a meeting here. And what it is someone in Narcotics Anonymous saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, you know, because see, in the 4-step step working guide, it talks about how the seeds of addiction were planted long before I picked up a drug. And just to let you know what one of my seeds were as a child was that I felt unlovable, you know. So here, in a sense, I feel less than, you know, I feel like I don't have anything to give, especially looking around the room to some of the predecessors that were here before me, you know. So someone in Narcotics Anonymous, and it says in our Just for Today reading, just for today I'll have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. So, man, I thank the committee for just trusting in me that I'll carry a strong Narcotics Anonymous message. You know, and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to move me out of the way, you know, because I'm an addict, you know. My name isn't important. You know, it's about putting that principle before the personality, you know, and that's what I learned here. Whew. You know, I want to read something real quick for the newcomer, because you know, I'm just going to jump right into this and into the topic, and I might not touch a lot on the newcomer. And I just want to say, if you're new here, just hold on, man, and keep coming back. You know, this program is awesome. It has given me a life that's worth living. You know, and One of the things that I do in service is I give back freely what was given to me, you know, my gratitude. And, you know, when I got here, it was suggested that I give back in any way that I could. And one of the ways is that I put in submissions for the newsletter, you know. And so I'll read you this little poem that I came up with. It calls "For the Newcomer." I thought I was cool. I thought I was hip. Little did I know I was on a sinking ship. I had no money, no friends, no place to go. I came to NA feeling so low. They said, just for today, you don't have to get high. I had used for so long, I thought I'd give it a try. They said, welcome, keep coming back, and they gave me a hug. For once in my life, I didn't want that drug. They told me to get a home group and go every week. They told me to get a sponsor if recovery is what I seek. I was so scared and confused anymore. In God, I wasn't so scared or confused anymore. In God, I have found the keys to unlock the door. Now I'm in recovery and learning so much, I no longer need the drugs as a crutch. The 12 steps of NA are the way that help me get through each and every day. You know, when I wrote that, I really, like, just felt like giving something back to this program. And that was early, man, early in recovery, man. I think, you know, it says my gratitude speaks when I care and when I share with others the NA way. You know, for me, in active addiction, it was all about the self-centeredness part. It was all about me taking. It was never about me giving anything back. Matter of fact, if you gave something back, that was a sign of weakness. Or any time I did give something back, it's because I expected something better in return. You know, so when I come here and I got to flip that and do the opposite of what I've been taught or what I've learned my whole life, it's not easy, man. So to give back, man, is something I practice daily. You know, March 21st, in the Just for Today reading, it talks about how I have a treatable illness. And, you know, when I got here, I heard the good news was that I didn't have to use anymore. The bad news was that drugs weren't my problem. And so in the Just for Today reading, it talks about a treatable illness, and how I treat this illness is by the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and the recovery that I seek is ultimately found in each individual's experience with working the 12 steps. You know, so when I thought about my greatest fear, I'd get up here and I would go blank, and what would come to mind would be all that CD recovery. You know how we do, man. I got a bunch of CDs. And when the moment I was told that I was going to have to lead this meeting, you know, I was like, I'm going to go to them CDs, man. I'm going to listen to them, and I'm going to share some profound stuff that someone else has shared. And you know what? You know, after doing some work on myself, that I knew that wasn't right. And you know what I did? Recovery is found in the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. I immediately went to my step work, you know. And what I came up with is my story. You know, I got clean in Baltimore. There's this meeting. It was over at Hamilton Noon, right? And Chase, man, I chased my recovery, just like I chased my drugs. For a week, it was not unusual for me to hit 14 meetings in a week. You know, I had this on Saturdays and Sundays, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, I could hit 10 meetings. So I was chasing my recovery, man, and I went to this meeting, and I heard this guy, man, and when he would share, he would, like, periodically go, tell your own story, you know, and I'd be like, and then, you know, he'd share a little more, and then he'd say, tell your own story. And I thought he was crazy. I did, man. And then, you know, after doing some work and remembering that guy, I was the one who was crazy, right? Because after getting in touch with the second step and the insanity of my disease, I found out that it's my own story that keeps me clean, right? I can go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, right? And I can hear how other people stay clean, but it's my story, it's my pain, it's how I felt, that's what keeps me here centered, you know? And the disease of addiction as defined by another addict, and that's one thing, you know, like I said, there's nothing original here. Everything I hear, I've heard in Narcotics Anonymous. My story is different. But other than that, you know, I've heard another addict define the disease as a sick or pathological relationship with any mood-changing, mind-altering experience with life-damaging consequences. You know what? I didn't hear anything about drugs in there. You know, you can plug in anything you want to. And when I heard that, man, I remembered that. I wrote that down. I bought his CD, you know. And you know, that's the beauty of it, man. And that's another thing, man. I made sure I didn't listen to his CD before I came here. And also, I've been going to meetings, man. And I've been, like, trying not to listen too intently because I didn't want to take anybody else's stuff and come up here and try to make it mine. You know what I mean? Because I want to come up here and get honest, man. I just want to let you know I'm just an addict, man, trying to get another day clean. You know, when I had days clean, I wanted years. And now that I got years clean, I just want another day, man. And that's the gratitude. And I understand, you know, by being clean, I have the opportunity for spiritual growth. So I'm not saying clean time's not important. Don't get me wrong there. Clean time is important. Right? But, you know, the importance is what I do with the clean time. My first convention of Narcotics Anonymous was in 1994. It was a Free State Region convention of Narcotics Anonymous IV. I went there because my mother told me I can no longer live in her basement and get high. You know, I lived in the basement of my mother's house in southeast Baltimore, and she said I can no longer live there. So I went to that convention because she told me to. You know, at the convention, it's important to tune into these feelings that I felt because I need to remember them, right? Because that's what keeps me clean. You know, I went into that convention, you know, for real, I just didn't feel like I fit in. You know, my disease wants to isolate me. The goal of my disease is isolation so it can work on me. It wants to keep me apart from everyone, right? So I was at this convention, and you know what? My mom's in the other fellowship. She's got 31 years sober. It's okay to say that because that's the other fellowship. But, yeah, so she actually knows a lot of people in the fellowship. And when she took me there, she introduced me to them. And, you know, they tried to make me feel comfortable, but I just wasn't ready, man. I just wasn't ready, you know. So I was there, and I was at this convention. And the only reason why I remember what convention it was is because I have some sort of little medallion that they gave to me, you know. The only thing I knew at that point was I wanted to get high, you know, and this was standing in my way. So I sat through a bunch of meetings. I don't even remember what they were about, man, because you know why? I couldn't stop the obsession. The compulsion to use was there, and the obsessive thoughts I could not stop. At 11:30 at the convention, I went and I called up my man. I said, I'm going to be home in an hour, you know, be ready. So my mom took me home, and then I used for the next 3 days. The next day, she was beating on my door to go, and I said, I'm sick. I'm not going. So that was my first convention. That was my taste of my first convention. My second convention is the shirt that I'm wearing. And part of service is giving back. My sponsor suggested that I give back by being a member of the Hug Squad. And as you can tell, I hadn't discovered Clorox bleach at the time, but have never bleached this thing, but I hold on to my shirt, man, because this thing means a lot, man, because I'll tell you, being a member of that Hug Squad, it was so therapeutic, you know, and I got a couple sponsees, and thanks for coming out to support me. This is my support group over here, and, you know, I tell them to be an equal opportunity hugger, you know. Don't just give the women the full frontal hugs, you know. Give the guy, you know how we do, hey, man, what's up, you know. You give the guys a sideway hugs or, you know, just a maybe a hey, and you know, and I got to do that too, man. So when I came here, that was my experience, man. Some guys walk in the door and say, hey, what's up? The women, though, you know. But so I tell them that, man, and a couple of my sponsees are key tag givers, and I call them on their shit. I say, man, no sideway hugs, man. Give them the full frontal. And it's awesome, man. I tell you. If my sponsees someday don't know that I get more out of them than they ever get out of me, someday they'll understand that. You know, That gets me to my story. You know, I'm going to jump right into the topic. The topic is not using the steps. I gave a little intro up to that point. But, you know, not using the steps, you know, what it suggests to me is a choice. You know, first off, I had to understand what the steps were. So I'm going to say that there's two time frames for me. You know, not using the steps prior to knowing about the steps for me, which was active addiction, because before I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know anything about the steps. And then after coming to Narcotics Anonymous and having some information about the steps. So there's two time frames. You know, I'm going to start off with some of the insanity of addiction, you know. And this is, you know, that guy where he was saying, tell your own story. When I think about my story, this is what I remember. You know, the year is 1998. An average day using for me was getting up if I got any sleep at all. You know, my man had a job. He went to work by 10 o'clock. I had to wait till 10 o'clock before I could go get some drugs. So what I would do is I would go to an area that was, you know, a 24-hour pharmacy, if you know what I mean, and I could get something to hold me over till my man would get up. And I would go see him, and then he would go to work, and then I'd catch up with him when he came home. And in between, if I ran out, which I seldom did, I would go back to that 24-hour pharmacy and get some more, you know. And that was the average day using when at the end of the road. You know, I'm going to skip all that previous stuff, you know, that I started getting high when I was 9. Just trust me, the disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal, you know, insidious. You know, my sponsor told me the definition of insidious is to develop slowly over time symptoms not to be apparent in my life till my disease is fully developed. You know, so what I'm going to talk about is when my disease was fully developed, because that's what I got to remember, because if I pick up, that's where I go back to. And that was my experience. So 1998, the average day of using was just about chasing the drugs. Did she say 5 minutes? Oh, wow. It went fast. All right. Let me skip that, go right into my three greatest fears while getting high. You know, while I was getting high, man, I had three fears, man. Number one, the cops were going to come through the door, right? Number two, my mother was going to come to the door. And number three, my friends were going to come to the door and I have to share my drugs. So what I was doing, man, is I had my ear to the door, I had my eyes to the window, and when I would start, man, everything would be on, lights be on, radio be on, but then once I was started, everything was off. You know, I was a prisoner in my own house, and I lived like that for a long time, man. I'm talking about being stuck in a self-imposed prison. You know, my existence was just that, a shell. And, you know, I want to share about real quick some of the insanity of active addiction. Was one particular time I worked for Johns Hopkins Hospital. I was part of a member of the cardiac arrest team, trauma team, and I was supposed to be at the hospital, which was 2 blocks from my house, and I was home hitting the pipe off the stove. My cardiac arrest beeper went off, and I ran up to the hospital and was in a room full of doctors and nurses while sticking needles in people to try to draw blood. And you talk about uncomfortable. You ever been in a hospital? You know how bright the lights are? You know, so that's a little bit about the insanity of my disease, you know. And when I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about I was trying to draw blood from their femoral artery while all these doctors and nurses were standing around me watching me. You know, you talk about geeking. That takes it to a new level. But, you know, that's a little bit about the insanity. So let me go ahead and fast forward into you know, now that I have some information. Now that I have some information, I have a choice. Do I act out or don't I? You know, it talks about one promise. You know, there's one promise in Narcotics Anonymous. It's freedom from active addiction. You know, well, that freedom has taken on different forms as I've worked through the steps. And freedom to choose has been one of them forms. So when I have a choice, do I use the steps or do I not use the steps? generally, when I don't use the steps, I wind up angry, resentful, afraid. And generally, when I do that, I'm either hungry, lonely, tired, or serious. There's something I don't hear talked about too much in Narcotics Anonymous, and that's taking ourselves too seriously. And I do that all the time, man. You know what? There's nothing... Here comes the 5 minutes. You know, man, you give an addict a justified resentment, and we can go from zero to self-righteous in a nanosecond. You know, and that's not using the steps, man. Because here's the deal. My God wants me to be a loving, caring, and understanding person. And if I align my will with God's will, I'll be following that path, and nobody can dictate my behaviors. You know, and that's something I had to learn here in Narcotics Anonymous, man. That little thing that I used to say, well, you made me do it. You know, I can't say that anymore, man. That doesn't fit in recovery for me. You know, and I just want to share a little story about one time I acted out with my wife. I just bought a new truck. Okay, I had bought a new used truck. And I had let my wife use it, right? And we were at a park, and I had pulled it in between two trees behind, you know, and there was a picnic table back there. And I said, go ahead, you know, you drive the truck home. She said, I don't want to drive the truck. I said, it'll be all right. You go ahead. I'll take this car home. She said, well, okay, I'll take it home. Well, I get home, right, and I look on my truck, and there's a dent, you know, and there's a dent on this truck that I just bought. Matter of fact, when I bought it, I spent like 8 hours out there vacuuming it, waxing it, like the day before, you know. And here's the thing what I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous. I came to Narcotics Anonymous a very materialistic person. You know, I thought that the things that I owned me made me the person that I was, right? And that's another thing that I'm learning daily. That's something I struggle with. It's not what I have that makes me the type of person. It's who I am, right? So she dented my truck, right? And here I just put all this time cleaning it up, man. You know, and I went to her and I said, did you put a dent on my truck? She goes, and actually what I did, I saw some scratches on the side. I said, did you scratch my truck? She said, no, I backed into some, but I didn't know that I, you know, put any scratches. And I went back out, then I saw the dent, right? And now I'm furious, man. So I come in, I said, how could you do that? And you know what she said? I told you I didn't want to drive it. Right? And that's, you know, and that's my behavior. I can recognize that. My inability to accept my own personal responsibility. See, man, it's okay when I can do that, you know, but don't let anybody else pull that on me, right? And I went off, man. I cussed her out. You know, I said some hurtful things to her. And then, you know, and that's where the program works. Is, see, something like that, I'd go out and get high over, right? I'll show you, I'll fix me, right? But in this case, what happens is the period of time that I stay in that anger gets shorter and shorter. And this particular time, it was probably about 10 minutes, you know, which was pretty long, because normally I get these small bursts. That was a large burst, right? I slammed doors, you know, I hopped in a truck and I squealed out of there and I was like, what am I doing? You know, I came to my senses and I went back and I said, you know what? It's okay. You're just going to have to pay for it. And why didn't I think of that in the first place, you know? It's like, and here it comes back to, see, I just put all this time and energy, and I put so much value in things, you know? And this thing, which is a new vehicle to me, means like it determines how I feel about myself, you know? Can you relate to that? So, you know, another time, you know, there's something I definitely want to touch on because, you know, not using the steps and using the steps. You know, Narcotics Anonymous shows up for me even when I don't want it to show up. You know, I'll tell you, I was working my 10th step in, on 9/26 of 04, and at 4:30 in the morning, I got a call from Cape May Hospital in New Jersey, and they told me that my mom was in the hospital and she was dying. And that was hard. So I made the decision to go up there to be by her side. You know, she just went up for vacation. She went up there for a women's retreat, and something had blocked her biliary duct, and she went into septic shock, and everything started shutting down. I called my sister, and by 8 o'clock, we were up there. So on the way there, you know, I did what you people told me. I trusted in God, and I went to my God, and I said, take her if you need her, but if not, I'll take her back. And you know, I showed up, and it was the hardest thing I ever did, you know, to sit there and to hold someone's hand that had been there so many times for you, where her hand was swollen up 10 times the size, and when I squeezed her hand, this fluid would come out, you know. And I showed up, and I didn't want to, and I was a spokesperson for my family. You know, I made the life-saving decisions for her, you know? And for you people taught me that, man, because me, I would have never been able to do that. I showed up for her, and they told me that she had a 10 to 20% chance to live, right? And I kept the faith. I said, God, take her, man, if you need her. If not, just leave her here for us, man. She's not done. But I was ready, man. That's what I learned in Narcotics Anonymous, man. Don't pray for things. Pray for strength and courage to see myself through these things, right? So I showed up, man, and don't you know, my mother is back to 100%. You know, she survived that. And we were there, man. I walked her through it. And that was... that's probably the greatest gift I could ever give her. That's because of you people showed me. And man, I went back to my home group and I shared and I cried then. And I cry every time, man, because I'm so grateful that you people have showed me how to live, man. How to truly live. You know, 8 years ago, I was living in the basement of my mother's house. I live in a house, a four-bedroom house in Lorton, Virginia. I got two kids. I've been blessed with the gift of another life, man. I have two boys. I adopted a boy, and I have another boy. We just had another boy. I got a two-year-old and a seven-year-old. I'm married. You know, where I'm going with this is that the greatest gift I've been given is my recovery. And through my recovery, I've been given these other little rewards, man, like a woman to share my life with. I've experienced the precious gift of life, you know. 9/26/04, when I thought my mother was dying, my little boy was born 7/26/04. So on one hand, I was celebrating the birth of one life and celebrating the end of another life, you know? And man, what a gift to be there for that little boy being born, to see him take his first breath. Man, that is a gift, you know? So where I'm going with this is that, you know, 8 years ago, living in my basement, you know, a prisoner, to live in the way I'm living today is truly a gift. And you know what? I have so many opportunities throughout the day to practice working the steps. You know, the steps, 1, 2, 3, in a sense is, I can't, he can, so I'll let him. You know, in the first step, yes, staying clean has to be the most important thing, but there's 1,000 times in a day that I have an opportunity to practice powerlessness. And how I choose that will determine how I feel throughout the day. You know what? Me and my sponsees, we started this day in prayer. We went up on the beach and had prayer, and I was doing my... 2 minutes? Done. Okay. I'll close with this. We were, you know, I got this little ritual. You know how you have a ritual I have a ritual of staying clean now. One of my rituals is I do daily meditations. I got these cards that I turn to. I'll protect our traditions. I won't mention them. But I was using these cards, man, and what you do is you shuffle them, and then you bring them up to your heart, and you ask the God a question, and then you pull out a card. And I said, God, help me. Help me help someone else. And I pulled the cards up, you know, my sponsee's there. And I went to the center of the deck and I pulled out this card. And it said, you are being helped. I'm an act. My name's Joey D. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing.
Did you hear that? No. Thank you for sharing. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, and that is Karen H.
I'm an addict. My name's Karen. Thanks, Joey. Really, it was a pleasure hearing you. I want to thank God. I want to thank God for me being here, for being a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a very, very proud member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I know. Without a shadow of a doubt, it is only through God's grace and mercy that I'm here. Right? I have been so blessed that I'm not living the way that I lived and where the disease of addiction took me. And sitting up here, I remember when Joey first got clean, I was like, God, it's really an honor. You know, it's an honor to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous. It's an honor to, like, be a vessel. To be a vessel from God. And I want to thank the CMP region for asking me to speak. Because I know they prayed. And I know those committees pray. And I was sitting here. And for those that know me, when I got here, I couldn't read or write. I could read or write at some point in my life, you know, before I started using. And I was sitting here, and I had to get focused because they said I had to read this thing, right? And even when, the speaker statement, I'll read it, but bear with me. But she just hugged me, and I said, I don't have to read anything, do I? And she said, yeah, so let me read. let me read the speaker. And plus, I'm getting old in Narcotics Anonymous. I can't see, right? Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. It's an honor to share my experience, strengths, and hopes. My clean date is December 23rd, 1990, right? That's the first meeting of Narcotics Anonymous that I ever came to. I want to say this. I have one God, one sponsor, one home group, and one clean date, right? And one boyfriend. Look, that's a miracle. See, because I want to talk about not using the steps. See, when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know our language. I didn't know we were our own society. I didn't know we were each other's eyes and ears. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know I came here to get clean. I didn't even know that God was working through people. I didn't know God was having you pray for me, the still suffering addict. All I knew, I didn't know was God's grace and mercy. I didn't know I had a God in my life. I knew absolutely nothing but ways and means to get more. I was living at the animal level. I didn't have a hustle in me. I manipulated, lied, cheated, plotted, planned, you name it, I did it. And when I came here, nothing changed. And when I got here and I came to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, it was, look, I kicked the habit in here. See, our literature says we can cold turkey it or we can go to a detox, but we must have total abstinence in order to recover. And I didn't go to a detox. I started using when I was 9, got clean when I was 29. And I was the addict that was in the back of the room that like knew. I believed you people. I'm telling you, I don't know what I heard. It was a feeling. And I was the addict who couldn't sit in the front row on the critical care unit, which they call it in Baltimore. I was the addict that like was in the back of the room and so desperate. I'm talking like, you know, that you know the horrors of addiction and the despair where we've been and like that sheer desperation, that cry out for help, like, somebody please help me. See, I didn't know that there was a place that you could go where you wouldn't use. I didn't know why I kept using when I didn't want to use. I didn't know why when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, right, that like I got a little bit of hope, but I still wanted to use. And seeing I was the addict that detoxed in here, and I'm telling y'all, love me in spite of myself and in spite of yourself. Because I was, I'm telling you, in the back of the room yelling. So I'm telling you, out of desperation, please help me, my legs. And I was like in and out of the bathroom, right? I hadn't taken a shower, I'm telling you. And this might not be long for somebody, it might be short for somebody, but it was over a week. Right? Where I was hungry, you see, and all I knew is that I wanted to die. But see, really, when I got in here and was able to start listening, I found out I didn't really want to die. I just wanted that deep pain to stop. See, the drugs weren't working anymore. Just weren't working anymore. All the stuff that happened to me growing up and the torture and like the terrible things that happened that I had no control over, that didn't matter. See, by the end of my using, I didn't even know that stuff. But what I knew was you all had a solution and you all had a way up and out from freedom of active addiction. And it was, where's your step now? It was through the steps. We didn't have the step guy, but I'm telling you, it was through the steps. And the disease of addiction is on every corner. And like, it'll share from the floor. It'll share from the podium. It'll call you on the telephone. You see, I didn't even know what the disease of addiction was. Had no idea what the disease of addiction was. All I knew was that I didn't want to use. You all gave me some hope, but I wanted to use. And you told me don't use no matter what. If we can do it, you can do it. I didn't know we had an equal opportunity to recover. I didn't know I was so lost. I was so insane. See, and one day, I was able to like sit up here and be able to listen. And one day, somebody knew my name. And I wasn't being called out of my name. Right? I have no name on the street. That was done. I had no identity, no self-worth, no self-esteem. I had nothing. Nothing. I started learning about the steps. And like from the area that I'm from, when you get clean, you start working the steps. Because it was like work the steps or die. And you know what comes after that. Look, I'm telling you, I was willing to do anything, and I still am willing to do anything to recover. Anything. And like, I got a sponsor. Never prayed. I'm telling you, nobody ever prayed with me in my life. I had no concept or no understanding of spiritual principles. Nobody taught me about faith and acceptance and honesty and open-mindedness and willingness and trust and belief and love. And I wasn't taught that. And I'm telling you, it was the attraction, you see, because like all those times I had gotten locked up, all those times where I wound up in places that I didn't want to go, right? I knew that wasn't who I wanted to be. and I couldn't stop it. So like I started working the steps, right? Not a clue. So I came in here a liar, a cheat, a thief, and a prostitute and all, and manipulating, and like I said, plotting and scheming and planning, and because the drugs came out of me didn't mean that it stopped. But you all knew there was hope for me, because we have a chapter in the basic text that says we do recover. And you all kept loving me, knowing if I continued to work these steps, that there would be areas in my life like I would start to understand that I didn't have to steal anymore. I would like start to understand the principles. Because we here live the steps, we live the principles of the steps. Live the traditions? No, we live the principles of the traditions. The like principles before personalities. I used to think that meant your personality. Principles before my personality. But see, I had to like work the steps and take a look at me, see where I came from, see what's going on with me, find a God of my understanding in order to recover. In order to stop those behaviors that I thought I could stop that I couldn't. So all those times, like when I was out on the street and I didn't want to use, and used anyway, and all those times in here where I didn't want to step out of a relationship, I didn't want to steal, I didn't want to lie, I didn't want to cheat, I did it anyway. And I would get these, like, fixed ideas. See, because this is a process, and it don't say it's a slow process. Right? It's an ongoing process. And I was learning. See, and like it was all a theory to me. And I started speaking your language. And like I became we with you. And like I remember doing a third step, fearful. Because I knew that's where I wasn't going to last here. See, what, look, if you're new, let me tell you this. You never, just for today, I'm telling you, you never have to use again. Never. There's things we have to do to stay here. There's hope. The miracle is this. One day we wake up and the obsession to use is lifted. And it doesn't just happen for me. And it doesn't just happen for you. It happens for anybody. Any addict. Any addict. Couldn't get past the God thing. Couldn't get, like, I could tell you, let go and let God. And let me say this. Early in my recovery, I didn't know that I wasn't using the steps. See, I didn't know that I really was living the first step because I wasn't using, right? And I did start like my spirit opening and like believing in something that was like greater than me. It was, you know, the key tags, the literature, my sponsor, the home group. And like that all still carries with me. And the block for me was this God thing. And see, I just could not let go of the control. Couldn't let go of it. I couldn't let events happen as events happen today in my life. Fearful. See, I couldn't, like, see this thing God. Couldn't see it. Felt your spirit, felt my spirit opening a little bit, but when it came to letting go and letting God, it wasn't happening. And I lived in fear in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous for a long time. I was taught, I got in it, I got to get out of it. You know, you made your bed, you laid in it, you get out of it. And it took me a while to experience really what the we thing was. See, if I didn't have money for a bill that was coming up, I didn't know how to live in the day. So if I didn't have money for a bill that was coming up, there was no way I could trust God. I didn't know the world was full of abundance. I had to steal. Yeah. See, like, when I, look. When I didn't like how I felt, I became obsessive and compulsive. And I would get a fixed idea, right? And I'll share this sometimes, a lot, maybe, I don't know. Did you ever get that fixed idea? I don't care if it's to get money, sex, it don't even matter, right? Knowing it's not what I want to do. Right? And like, get that fixed idea. Now I know what I'm going to do. Right? I ain't using the steps. God, you know what? I got this one. Right. And let me tell you why I got this one. Because see, remember, I don't like how I feel. See, the second step tells us, like we try to fix what's wrong with us. And then it like has a colon. And it says, our feeling. And then it talks, when have you tried to change your, this is the second step, in the step guide, your feelings by gambling, sex, overeating, and it just names a list. That was my life in recovery. Right? Consciously making a decision to let God know I got this. So like, now I know what I'm doing, I don't like how I feel. Maybe I liked how I felt because I was starting to feel good with myself, good about myself. It was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. I had to do something because I didn't like that feeling. So now like I might be feeling good about myself. Get the fixed idea because I don't like feeling good about myself because I don't even know how to feel good about myself. Right? And I'm driving down the road going, don't do it, Karen. Don't do it. Yeah, it'll be all right. Right? Making a conscience a decision to turn my will and my life over to me. Conscious decision. Let me tell you something. There was nothing worse for this addict than to make that conscious decision to take my will and my life. Because I'm so fearful and scared out of my mind, and if you knew who I was, you wouldn't like me anyway. And to set out to do what I like, got this fixed idea to do and not wanting to do it, and I do it anyway, and I'm back to square one hating myself. Back to square one. Now, see, I gave God off. I ain't going back to God right now because I'm so ashamed of myself. So ashamed of myself. Not liking myself. Any bit of esteem I have is gone. See, not using the steps, right, made me nuts, but I was already nuts. I'm telling you, I didn't like how I felt. I didn't think that, like, things were in divine order. And as I said earlier, couldn't let events happen and trust that, you know what, God has A to Z. See, I couldn't say, you know, God, I definitely couldn't pray only for knowledge of God's will and the strength to carry it out. There were some things I still needed. Things I still wanted. Things I still wanted to go my way. And the reason I would be so fearful about praying only for knowledge of God's will, right? Because, see, my prayers were always answered here. Whether I got what I asked God for or didn't, my prayers were answered. He'd either say, yeah, you can have this, or yeah, you can. Didn't mean I liked the answer. So like, if I'm going to pray only for knowledge of God's will, and the strength to carry it out, right? Then that means I'm going to get the strength to carry it out. So God's will was always right in front of me. God's will was always and still is right in front of me. It's my choice whether I want to like work the steps and get the strength from God to carry it out. That stuff can be deep. So one day, right? One day, right? I got to a place. It didn't matter. It just didn't matter what God did with me. I was tired of stealing, cheating, lying, manipulating, plotting, scheming. I couldn't do it anymore. It was just like on the street. I didn't have the hustle in me anymore. See, we're only as sick as our secrets. Right? The disease of addiction wants me nothing more than isolated so then it can kill me or have me take my own life. So like all those times when I would like consciously choose not to live the principles of this program, I was one step closer to death, and I believe I got here the day before I died. So what would be the reason that I wouldn't keep going back? Keep wanting to get closer to death. When I got here, I was close to death. Everything that I did clean, I'm telling you, I had to do to be at the spiritual place that I'm at. Thank God for an 8-step. Thank God for a 9-step. Thank God for the steps. You were talking about the freedom. The freedom. Freedom ain't free, though. Freedom ain't free, though. Right? But it don't cost, like, money to be here. Look. I want to read. I brought my glasses because the last meeting I did, I was making stuff up because I didn't have my glasses, right? My sponsor shared behind me, and I was like, damn, right? Because she cleared it up. Thank God she cleared it. I don't know what I said. I said something, but I was like trying to paraphrase something, but I knew what I meant to say, but it was wrong. Let me just say that. So I brought my glasses, right? Because, like, the literature is the hit for me. It's written by addicts. For addicts. We wrote this stuff. Right? Don't lie. Telling you. Ooh, I would though. Look, it took me a long time. I'm telling you, I was so afraid to be honest. Right? I was so afraid to be honest because, like, whenever I was asked, like, did I do this? The first time I told the truth. I think I had a lot of consequences for that. Right? I'm talking as a little one. I never wanted to tell the truth again. Yeah, I was tortured terribly. Really, seriously. I was tortured by a man who was a prisoner camp guard for World War II. Right? Now, you hear stories what prisoner camp guards do, right? I guess that he chose me to be his prisoner. And I was only like 7 and 8 years old. So my spirit, boy, I had a big spirit. I got a big spirit. Recovery's finding out of which was lost, right? My spirit was gone. My spirit's big, right? I found out what love is. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. But let me say this too, in all the wrong ways, right? I know what love means today. I know it's me sharing my spirituality with you. I know that, right? I'm like okay with Karen today, but I want to read something. Oh boy, glasses. Right? I got to find it. Okay. When like I had to talk the talk before I could walk the walk. Was it okay? I don't think so. I just wanted you all to love me, right? I wanted your attention. I would say anything and do anything, and I would say yes and not mean it and become angry and resentful because I told you I would do something. And I would say no and not mean it, wishing I would have, but I was so fearful. I was like, no. Right? Today I can say yes and mean it. Today I can say no and mean it. Right? So like, I understand when people talk the talk and don't, like, walk the walk. Because I was the addict that would sit out there and say, he ain't living like that. Guess what? Neither was I. But I couldn't let you know that. See, cause like, I was working the steps, but I really wasn't. When you're sneaking out at nighttime, something ain't right with that. Right? It's hard to live two lives in here. It's hard to live two lives. Right? I had a hard time with it. Look, I'm telling you, I'm misused. Yeah. See, it's easier for an addict to change their perception of reality than to change reality. It says that in What Can I Do? I had a distorted reality. Distorted, twisted. I was gone when I got here. So like it says, the message, however, is meaningless unless we live it. So I'm talking it, trying to live it, not even knowing if I am or not, but acting as if, and like behind the scenes, not living it. And as soon as somebody would find out, everybody would find out. Thank God. Thank God. You can call it gossip. You can call it whatever you want. But thank God you all talked about me. Because you know what? I got sick of you talking about me. It had me hit my bottom. Thank God you all had or didn't have the courage to come to me and I had heard it through the grapevine. I'd say, man, they're talking about me, but I'd be talking about you. Right? I'm telling you, the disease of addiction is powerful. But just know this. We are much more powerful than this disease. And people in Narcotics Anonymous will let people die. We'll know somebody's using, right? And they're acting like they're not, and we won't say nothing because they might not like me. How about this? What if I'm wrong? Look, come on. We used, right? We know what somebody's using. It ain't about like destroying their character because they got high. It's about, like this is about life or death. This thing ain't no joke, man. This thing is no joke. It's hard, like, to watch people come in and out and in and out. Please, welcome them back. It takes courage. It takes courage. It takes courage when a group is giving away a basic text to walk up there and get it. And we all want to yell, read it? You don't even know if he can read yet or not. I don't know why I just said that. I don't know what I just went off on. Let me tell you. I'm just saying, man, love us addicts, boy. If you don't know what love is, let us love you till you learn to love yourself. For real. There's something else that I wanted to read. Okay, let me tell you how I know that I would work myself up into a relapse, right? When I would make these conscious decisions to not work the steps. Look, I do talk about God. I've been clean a long time. If I ain't talking about God, please ask me, what am I doing? Okay, ask me, because I might need some help. Right? I was so fearful to give it all up to God, and I would make these conscious decisions to not... See, The third step, it started with the first step, and the third step is like where like I thought, well, maybe I can just do this. But every time that I would like not allow this God in my life and take my will back, I was one step closer to using. And in here, in our basic text, it says, our experience, not my experience, our experience, right? Reveals that working the steps is our best guarantee against relapse. So tell me this disease don't want me dead. I got here almost dead and want to keep making a conscious decision to not use the steps to be almost dead again with my spirit that's been open to kill my spirit again. Tell me this thing ain't cunning, baffling, insidious. Thank God for you people. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, I got a passion for Narcotics Anonymous. I got a passion that it's unexplainable, right? It's not what do I have. Look, I feel like sometimes I've had it all and done it all and lost it all and all that stuff. It's like, how am I living? I ask people today, how you living? Right? How you living? Not working the steps is dangerous. I'm telling you, it's dangerous. Cockiness is a red light indicator. Says it in recovery and relapse, right? I thought getting high out there was bad. Look, I've had experiences being cocky around here. Nothing ain't worse than getting like, how can you say it? High on yourself. And not being in no state of humility. Right? The state of humility is the best state an addict can be in. And if you don't know what humility is, it's like telling the truth of who we are. Sponge, I lied. God, I'm a liar, man, please. See, not that crazy stuff like, let me tell you a half story so that you'll still like me and so that you'll be on my side. Look. God has got me. God is so first in my life. So first in my life. Thank God for a sixth step. And see, in all those times I was telling you, I was lying, cheating, stealing, stepping out of a relationship. I mean, just crazy stuff. Stuff that almost wanted me to take my own life. Right? Thank God the seventh step. And I learned and I trusted you all that God could move mountains. I'm not the same person. And it's a vigilance. And I have to, like, always be aware of what's going to endanger my recovery. I had to learn what does my disease mean to me. There's a question in our first step that's asked, do we understand the full aspect of this disease? Right? My answer was always yes. Right? Always yes. But today I understand what my disease means to me. I know what the flags are. Right? And guess what? So do you. You know what my flags are. You all know when I'm going to be setting myself up. See, hurt people hurt people. Right? If I wouldn't have continued in the step process, I would have continued hurting people, and harm is intentional or unintentional. Because my biggest thing using and my biggest thing clean was I didn't mean to hurt you. See, and I had to get to the eighth step to learn what harm really was. Because, like, harm is intentional, unintentional. I'm telling you, all those times that I would say I didn't mean to hurt you, I'm telling you 99% of the time, because of the principle of honesty, I meant to hurt you. I just didn't want to, like, think of myself that way. I had 5 years clean. Right? Today, through God's grace and mercy, let me tell you, events can happen. When life situations happen, I got 5 minutes? Three. When life situations happen, right? I'm talking life situations. I would call it, this is insane. Right? It's not insanity. It's life on life's terms. And we like got the spiritual principles. When I choose to not use the steps, that's when this is insane. See, my conscious decisions to not work the steps are far and few between. But let me tell you something, at any given moment, I can make that decision to give God off. Any given moment. So, again, if you're new, a newcomer, a sometimer, an old-timer, it don't matter. Learn what the disease of your disease means to you. And the only way you're going to learn it is if you let somebody in your life. That we can open ourselves up and let somebody know what our patterns are. talks about it in the fourth step. Our patterns. What happens when I like want to steal? What happens when like I got to go to work and say I ain't going? What's going on with me? Look, you can use my experience. You don't have to give God off. I'm telling you, it was a long, hard road getting here. And sometimes, I'm telling you, I held on here like by the skin of my teeth. I was like that real one quick decision away from picking up because of not liking how I felt. We have the tools here to recover, right? If you're new, please, an addict, any addict can stop using. Lose the desire to use. That happens. One day we wake up, the obsession to use is lifted, right? But then, right? Don't forget this part. And find a new way to live. I had no coping skills or living skills when I got here. Thank you. Thank you for showing me how to live. Let us show you. Look. We can only keep what we have by giving it away. Chances are, if I don't remember where I came from, I ain't staying anyway. We can only keep what we have by giving it away. If y'all ain't, like, letting us give it to you, right? We ain't going to keep what we have. So I want to thank, look, I truly want to thank God. I want to thank you all for coming to this meeting because, like, on this schedule, there's a lot of meetings. Right? Because you all just help me because, look, your eyes are glowing. We clean up nice, man. And the spirit, look, I feel the spirit, I'm telling you. Seriously. Real quick, I want to say this. And I want to thank you, Cindy, for sharing with me. Look, I do have a hard time talking about me. Serious. It's nothing prestigious about being here. Right? It's a very humbling experience. Look, whenever I'm asked to share, I give you everything I got. Everything that God gives me to give to you. Right? And my dad is like my best, dearest heart. I'm telling you. I'm trying to take my sponsor suggestion, right? And I'm still being sponsored. I've never not been sponsored. So it don't matter how long you've been here, okay? Because I don't like to share about me. My life is good. My life is good, right? My dad got sick, has cancer. Mom left the hospital, got into a car accident from seeing dad. Truck hit her, totaled the car. Get them home, the dog dies. Right? This is my experience. And I wasn't insane. I didn't even think that it was insanity. It was like, thank you, God, please. I like just like want to get to the other side so I can see what the other side is because I know God is building my character. Just when I think my character of integrity, right, is built, God say, no, it's not. See, and coming from the streets, I'm not like this crier. Look, last thing I want to do is cry. Believe me when I tell you. I don't know if that'll ever go away. I'll cry, right? But if somebody's coming or whatever, you know. One of them deals, right? Look, let me tell you something. It just comes. It's just like all of a sudden I'll just like be crying. I mean just like crying. And it's so different. And the disease of addiction wants to say, what is something wrong with you, girl? Something's wrong with you. Right? There ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm not trying to fix what's wrong with me, my feelings anymore. Anyway, look, it's been an honor. It's truly been an honor. Thank God. Look, it's been an honor to speak with you, Joe. It's really good to see you, really. And and I'll keep coming back.